husband and wife were kind of having a hard time deciding how to spend their money because they both had a fairly expensive gift. She wanted a full-length mink coat, and he wanted a new truck, and so they compromised. They got a mink coat, and they keep it in the garage. We're going to look today at an amazing gift. You know the gift, but in order to look at this amazing gift, the greatest gift ever given, what we're going to do is we're going to turn to an incredibly familiar passage and see in it the greatest opportunity in the world. We're going to see the greatest love in the world and the greatest gift in the world. But first, the greatest opportunity in the world. There was a mean young hombre. He came into town. He was wearing his black hat, leather duster, boots, spurs. He was toting a six-shooter. And he caught sight of an old, full-bearded miner pulling his mule up to a hitching post. And he decided that he would have a little fun at the miner's expense. He pulled out his six-shooter. He said to the old miner, said, "Have you ever wanted to dance?" And the old miner said, "Well, no, not really." He said, "Well, this is your greatest opportunity." He pulled out his six-shooter and started shooting at his feet. The old miner danced around. He goes, bang, 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 and he's dancing around. Then he fires three more shots, bang, 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 and the old miner danced around. Then the old miner calmly turned around, walked over to his mule, pulled his shotgun out of the leather case. You see, he had a couple things going for him, age and experience. And he had counted off the six shots from that young hombre. The young hombre, kind of learning his lessons a little late, when he's watching him pull that shotgun out, realized that he was out of bullets. The old miner looked at that young hombre and said, "Have you ever wanted to kiss a mule?" He said, "Well, no, not really." And he said, "Well, this is your greatest opportunity." Well, those were opportunities, we have to agree, but they probably weren't great opportunities. We're going to look at the greatest opportunity in the world. It's the opportunity to have eternal life. Now, we're going to look at a passage that's often exposited, never exhausted, and that passage is John 3:16. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. For those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. For some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. And it's found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. First of all, we see the greatest love in history. The greatest love in history. For God so loved the world. God, that we're talking about here, a reference to the omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God, the eternal, almighty, creator of the universe, the only true God, the only real God, the one who created the universe, the one who created mankind. This is the God we're looking at. He's made up of three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And some of you are thinking, well, how do you know that? Well, back in the early days of Texas, a rancher was riding out, and he came across an Indian lying flat on the ground with his ear pressed to the ground. And without looking up, the Indian said in broken English, "Wagon. Wagon pulled by two horses. Wagon driven by man with long beard, black hat, wearing buckskin." And the rancher was amazed. "You can tell all that by just pressing your ear to the ground?" He said, "No. Wagon run over me 30 minutes ago." You see, he had previous knowledge. And that's how I know, when I look at it, when God so loved the world, that's how I know that he's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, almighty, the creator. This is how I know about him, because I have previous knowledge. as I've looked in the Word of God, I've discovered things about God. And so we can know things from the Scripture. And I am looking at this verse in the Bible in light of all the verses in the Bible. And the Bible makes it crystal clear that there is only one true God. And that God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this God loved the world. It says He so loved the world. The term here for love is not eros, a consuming physical love. The term for love here is not philos, a conditional mutual love. The term here is agape, which is a compassionate, unconditional love. It's not a sensual eros love. It's not a solicitous philo love. It is a sacrificial agape love. God, agape, sacrificially, unconditionally loved the world. It's a desire for the best for others, this unconditional love. It's a willingness to sacrifice for others, this unconditional love. It's a desire for another's highest good. And what is their highest good? It's that they might have a relationship with God. And who does this highest good? Whose highest good? Whose highest good is the good of the world? God, the only God, loved sacrificially, unconditionally, the world. All people, regardless of race or gender or status or education or power or wealth, He loves the intellectual and the illiterate. He loves the rich and the poor. He loves the red and yellow, black and white. All are precious in His sight. He loves you. There are millions of people in the world that we don't even know, and God loves them. God loves them all. But beyond that, He loves you. As we look at this, we see that God loves the world, but including in that, and most important for you to understand, is that He loves you. God loves you. He loves you so much that He wants to give you an incredible gift. So we've seen the greatest love in history is God loving the world. Now we want to see the greatest gift in history, that He gave His only begotten Son. This is the greatest gift in history. We have God the Father giving God the Son to come down to earth, to go to the cross, to die for you and for me. He gave His only begotten Son. According to John 1:1, this is the eternal Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ. The Word, Jesus Christ, was with God. And the Word, Jesus Christ, was God. And verse 14, the Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So this is the eternal Son of God. This is the unique Son of God. And God gave Him not simply to come to earth, but to go to the cross. God gave Him to sacrifice His life. God sacrificed His Son. His Son sacrificed His life. God the Father sent His Son to take our place. Romans 5:8 makes it very clear. God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Or it could be translated, Christ died in our place as our substitute. God the Father sent the Son to take our place, and He sent His Son to take our punishment. According to 1 Peter 2, Jesus bore our sins in His body on the cross. He took our place, He took our sins, He took our punishment so that we might have everlasting life. Another Western story, there was a young rancher who pulled into town with a buggy and went into a store, and some people somehow spooked the horses, and they jumped, and tore away from the hitching post and started to run. And immediately, like a flash, that rancher was out there throwing himself in front of the horses, grabbing the harness, being drugged by them for about 200 yards. They reared up and they stomped down on his head and his chest, crushing him, and he died. He did not let go, but he ended up dying. And people were wondering, why? Why? I mean, let him go. But as they were, as they went out there to the horses, which had stopped then, and they looked in the buggy, and they saw a blanket. And inside the blanket, they saw a basket. And inside the basket, they saw this rancher's baby boy. He gave his life to save that little boy, his little boy. The scripture says, there's no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for a friend. Jesus laid down his life for you and for me. And he gave his life for you and me. The greatest love in history, God loves you. God loves you. And it's amazing. Even more amazing than that, he loves me. And second, the greatest gift in history, God gave his only son to die in our place to pay for our sin. Why? Why would God sacrifice his son for you and me? The Bible answers with the greatest opportunity in history. God so loved the world, the greatest love, that he gave his only son, the greatest gift, that whosoever believes into him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. This is the greatest opportunity in history to have eternal life. Note the term whosoever. This is being offered to everyone in the world. This offer is being extended to you because God wants you to spend eternity with him. And it's a very clear choice here that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Those are the only two options. You either perish, spend eternity in hell, or you have everlasting life and spend eternity with God. It's either eternal conscious torment apart from God or eternal conscious comfort and joy and blessing with God. Those are the only two choices. Now, some of you are thinking, well, how in the world could a loving God send anyone to hell? He isn't. God isn't sending anyone to hell. He won't send anyone to hell. You say, well, I thought you said those are the only two options. Well, they are. Well, then, are you saying that some people go to hell? Yes. Well, that's my question. How could a loving God send anyone to hell? Well, if you would turn to Matthew 25:41, you'd discover that hell was not created for people. Hell was created for the devil and his demons. It's true that some people will go there, but it's not because God prepared hell for them. God is preparing a place in heaven for those who believe in him. And God sent his son so all could believe in him. But those who reject him, those who reject that gift, those who reject that offer, those who don't believe in Christ, will spend eternity in hell. So some people go there, but it's not because God is sending them there. God sent his son so they wouldn't have to go there. They're going there because that is their choice. They have made a choice. They have not chosen life over death. They have not chosen Jesus and believing in him. That's an incredible opportunity to believe in Jesus. And how do you take advantage of that? Look again at the verse, John 3:16. God so loved the world, the greatest love. He gave his only son, the greatest gift, that whosoever believes in him. Notice, it does not say that whoever gets baptized will not perish, but ever, it doesn't say that. Whoever gives a tithe will not perish, but ever, it doesn't say that. Whoever keeps the Ten Commandments, doesn't say that. Whoever joins a church, it doesn't say that. Whoever reads the Bible, doesn't say that. Whoever prays, doesn't say that. Whoever helps old ladies across the street and doesn't kick dogs, doesn't say that. What does it say? That whosoever believes in Jesus has everlasting life. What a simple solution. Eternal life is given to those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. Eternal life is given to whoever trusts in Jesus Christ and in him alone. A man was once robbed, blindfolded, taken up a hill, told to reach up. He reached up, couldn't feel anything. He said, reach higher. He got on tiptoes. He felt the rope. And just as he grabbed it, they pushed him. And he swung out over an open chasm. And they said, waiting below, they told him, waiting below you, hundreds of feet down, is nothing but rocks and your death. He panic seized him. Fear overcame him. His knuckles are getting white. His weight seemed heavier. He's trying to hang on to the rope. And finally, his knuckles became wider and his grip became looser. And finally, he dropped 24 inches to the ground below him. It was all just a trick of the robbers to give himself time to get away. But you know, that's what a lot of people are like. They're doing everything in their power to save themselves, and they can't save themselves when all they need to do is let go of their own good works and just trust in the solid bedrock of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. As the old songwriter puts it, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. We trust in Jesus Christ, and the key is faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a free gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. God is saying that he loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you'll simply place your faith in him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. This great opportunity to have eternal life is being offered to whosoever will believe in him. You know, if you were offered a great honor, you'd accept it. But a great honor is nothing compared to this. If you were honored enormous wealth, you'd accept it. But enormous wealth is nothing compared to this. If you were offered exemption from sickness, you would accept it. But exemption from sickness is nothing compared to this. We're talking about eternal life. Freedom, forgiveness of sin, freedom from guilt. God is offering the greatest gift ever offered, Jesus Christ and eternal life. Will you accept it? You see, no one can really be neutral. You've heard the good news, and you either accept it or you reject it. The same sun that melts butter hardens clay. You see, the gospel is like a two-edged sword. You either melt and respond and accept, or you harden your heart and say no and reject. It's a personal decision that you must make. In 1829 in Pennsylvania, George Wilson was sentenced by a United States court to be hung by the neck until dead for murder. President Andrew Jackson pardoned him, but George Wilson refused the pardon. And Wilson insisted that since he refused the pardon, that it was not a pardon, since he didn't accept it. And that was a point that had never, ever occurred before. And so it was the president turned it over to the Supreme Court to decide. And I want to read the decision of Chief Justice John Marshall following the decision. A pardon is a paper, the value of which depends upon its acceptance by the person implicated. It is hardly to be supposed that one under the sentence of death would refuse to accept a pardon. But if it is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must be hanged. And George Wilson was hung by the neck until dead. We're all under the sentence of death because of our sins. And God has issued us a pardon in Jesus Christ. But that pardon must be accepted by faith. And if it is not accepted, it is no pardon. What will it be for you? You're being offered Jesus Christ and eternal life in him. Will you receive that gift? For many, many, many years, the Chicago Daily News carried a cartoon by prize-winning cartoonist Von Shoemaker. The cartoon had a beautifully decorated Christmas tree. Underneath the tree was one lone package, and it was labeled Eternal Life. Scrawled through the cartoon were these words: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." And the title of the cartoon was The Untaken Gift. The Untaken Gift. Eternal life was the package. The untaken gift. Have you taken the gift? If not, I want to encourage you to do so today. There's no greater gift you could receive at Christmas than the gift of Jesus Christ and eternal life. Let's pray. Right now, right where you are, in the quietness of your heart, you can settle your eternal destiny. You can talk to the Lord in the quietness of your heart. You could say something like this: "Dear God, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I need a Savior. And I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again. So right now, for the very first time, I place my faith in Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior." With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, would you just please slip your hand up in the air? If you're still wrestling with this decision and want to talk more about it, I'd be happy to meet with you. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your incredible love that sent your only Son to die that we might trust in him and have eternal life. Thank you, Father, for the incredible blessing of having our sins forgiven, being adopted into your family, and knowing that we have eternal life. Thank you for the peace that we have in our hearts, knowing our sins are forgiven. The peace we have, knowing that we're your child, and we belong to you, and you belong to us. Thank you for that heavenly peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to close by singing Silent Night, and it talks about that heavenly peace.